Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player.
This week on Out Now with Aaron Abe, we're talking about The Visit.
Which visits are we visiting? The Visit Visit.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, good evening. Good evening, my friends.
Out Now is a film podcast with Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. If it's your first time listening to this podcast, yay! If it's your one of your many other times, thank you for coming back. But yes, we talk about various movie topics, have a mostly spoiler-free review, then jump back to other fun movie topics. This is episode 208. I started for a second there. I wanted to make sure.
Yes. I knew we were 208.
208.
208. That's four more than 204. I don't know where I was going there.
You know that circus where like there's a bear balancing on a ball and he's like juggling or something at the same time? I've never been to a circus.
I've never been to one either, actually.
Not a Moscow circus with bears doing things, apparently, because I don't know what they do, but I imagine there's some kind of ball. Anyway, what am I talking about?
I don't know. You're talking about circuses and bears in Russia.
Well, what we're talking about this week on this week's podcast episode is The Visit, the new film from M. Night Shyamalan. He's back with another movie, and maybe it's better than the last one. Maybe it's better than one of the ones before that. We'll get to it, though.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll find out. But joining us to talk about The Visit, we have from JoeBlow.com. He's been known to stock villages. It's Jimmy O.
Wait a second. We're not talking about We Are Your Friends? I can't wait till that comes out. I'm so excited.
So you're the one that watched it.
Wait, no, it's come out? What are you talking about? I mean, that movie's going to be huge.
It's coming. Probably true. I think it's coming out like 3 weeks from now.
Okay, cool.
On DVD.
I'm gonna... Hey, everybody. How are you?
Jimmy!
Glad to have you back. Also joining us from StarBulls.com, he's been told to stop harassing the lady in the water. It's Jason Coleman.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Well,
you're the one.
I am, and I'm a big, I'm there with Giamatti. So anything Giamatti does, I'm for, even if it stinks. So, Jimmy, I heard they are releasing a special edition of that movie. So, you might want to hold off, you know, so that you don't have to double dip.
A special edition.
Yeah, it's the we're Your Only Friends edition.
There you go.
That's the one guy that buys it.
We are your one friend.
Less DJ, more Wes Bentley.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm hoping for
more. I hear Wes Bentley's good from Aaron.
He's good in that movie.
Yeah. Hey, they can put that on one of those one of those double DVDs, you know, with two movies. That and P2.
Step Up and We Are Your Friends.
That's a good one. I think P2 is better. It's a little more extra Wes Bentley.
This is the most talk about both We Are Your Friends and Wes Bentley anyone's ever done in a podcast.
I mean, Hunger Games.
Yeah, Hunger Games, you know, Blueberry.
Can we just talk about Wes Bentley?
Yeah, I mean, like, next thing we're going to talk about plastic bags.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
Sometimes.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Floating in the air. You
know. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
There is a Wes Bentley film that I like quite a bit from Michael Winterbottom, The Claim. I think that's a solid movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie, actually.
I'll give you that.
Sarah Pauly, one of her rare acting appearances, actually.
Love Sarah Pauly.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We have an inside Shyamalan film to talk about,
and we're talking about Wes Bentley and some Zac Efron movie that no one's going to remember. Well,
Jimmy will remember.
I'll remember.
There we go.
Yeah, because those are his friends.
All right. Well,
they're my friends.
Moving on. Let's get to some show note stuff here.
Shiloh Fernandez is in that too. Wow.
Yes, he is. Evil Dead Shiloh Fernandez.
I like him.
He's got a good head on his shoulders.
That's what she said.
Okay. Just,
don't mock me.
What podcast is this? We're trying to have a fun family.
Oh, stuff. Now we're there today.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So let's talk.
We have a mostly spoiler-free movie review.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that. We'll get to our review of the village, The Visit, our retro review of The Village. It's coming up pretty soon. we're going to talk about The Visit later on. First, let's get some show notes out of the way. Shana Tova for all of our Jewish listeners out there. It's Rosh Hashanah.
Shana Tova.
Yes. So that's happening. What else? Commentary track. It is a new month since our last commentary for Johnny Mnemonic in August, so of course we will be doing another commentary track at some point this month. Not sure what the movie's going to be yet, but
We Are Your Friends?
It will be What if we went to the one theater that's still playing it and recorded a live commentary track?
Nobody would be there.
Like, we asked projectors to put the movie on mute, like, just have, like, turn on.
Mr. Science Theater 3000 it. We're just going to riff during the
movie. I don't think anyone would be bothered. I think we could totally do that.
Johnny Mnemonic. My vote is definitely for Chain Reaction, then. You should go that way.
We did talk about Chain Reaction in our commentary.
Yeah, we did talk about Samuel.
Nice.
Or if you're doing Johnny, you could go Johnny Handsome.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
That is a good movie.
Why not Johnny Dangerously?
Ooh. No.
Yeah,
that's a good
just
one.
No.
Are we just naming Johnny now?
Yeah.
Moving on. We have a commentary.
Johnny be good.
It'll come this later this month. You'll enjoy it, I'm sure, because you guys love our commentary tracks. What else?
Well, they're all right.
Our summer gamble has come to a close. If you listened to last week's episode, you know this, but if you haven't yet, go catch it now. We had a summer gamble, of course, for Abe and I, and seven of us all contributed.
Spoiler alert, I didn't win.
No, you did not. You never do, though. It doesn't matter. I don't either. Someday. So, you know, it's all done. But we tried to predict the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer, and we, of course, got the results in last week after summer movie season officially ended. So that's out there now. If you want to go listen to it, you can find it on iTunes, which is, of course, where you can find out how to give us reviews and ratings. Of course, if you go onto iTunes, look up our show, Out Now with Aaron and Abe. We do appreciate getting more reviews and ratings. If you could go on there, search the show, add a star rating, that'd be great. If you want to write a review or any word in general, feel free to do so. It helps other people find our show. It's just a great way to make Abe and I feel better about doing this every week and not wanting to do anything that would harm ourselves.
Probably a lot better.
Yeah.
But thank you.
It's a little validation. It's a little validation.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But we all just love feedback in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are good.
Jimmy.
You are very good.
I can't see right now, but I'm giving myself a pat on the back.
Yeah, you guys are very good. Yeah.
All right. So
he was going with his Rain Man for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's enough of that. Let's move on. Let's get to know everybody. Where each week we ask each other a question or two to get the tone for the podcast here. Better get to know everybody. So, Abe, why don't you start this one off?
Okay, cool. Is there a place when you were young that you really disliked going to because it was a little bit too spooky for you?
Too spooky.
I'll have to say that it was my uncle's place in Merced. We had to drive through like some backwoods stuff. I always hated going there. Merced. He's a good guy, but I always hated the ride there because we'd always get there around like dusk or something, and it's really scary out there.
Well, they had, for me, you know, at school, in my elementary school, they had a bathroom that was like way, way basement level, but it had this door that was like an old school, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre metal door that clanged when it closed, and that freaked the heck out of me, man. So,
well, see, I like to go to scary places. So we had a place where I grew up at called Cemetery Hill. It was really, really, really creepy. It looked like something out of Night of the Living Dead, and it was like I would love to go there. I like going to scary places. I wanted to go to scary places, so I still do.
You're in the cemetery right now recording.
Yes, I'm outside Abe's place.
You're also my window. Walking. You're just like, peeking in.
Yeah, I'm stalker today.
But I'm on the 14th floor.
I know, it's pretty impressive. Didn't you see Salem's Lot?
Nothing's impossible for Jimmy.
Let me in.
I once had to go to a TJ Maxx.
Oh, that is scary. Oh my god.
I can't think of a place I would go to that was like really scary. Like I've gone camping a lot when I was younger. It's just, you know, dark woods. What helps is that Jimmy's Skype icon is like the Jason's the hockey mask.
Hold on, let me take off my clothes so I can go skinny dipping. Is
Jimmy, are you still there? Jimmy, this isn't funny anymore.
I'm going to get naked. I'm going to go in the pool. I'll be waiting.
Oh, hold on. I forgot my lighter in the car, Jimmy. I go back and I never come back.
Yeah. God, I love those movies.
Man, we just write a movie. We just did it.
We're doing
a lot more
bits at this 11 o'clock hour of the podcast.
We're really tired, probably.
Yeah. All right. My question.
Jimmy's had a few Bloody Marys. Go ahead.
There you go.
Any special treats your grandparents used to make?
Not really. Not that I remember.
No, like pies or biscuits or something crazy?
Asian. We just worked a lot.
Mine was too old to make, but she used to rent Schwarzenegger movies for me when I was a kid, and my parents wouldn't. So I mean, you know,
fair enough.
Yeah, she was a big.
A win's a win is a win.
Yeah, there you go. So.
We had big meals because my grandma on my dad's side had a lot of kids, like a lot of kids, and so I have a big family on that side. So when we would go out to visit over in Illinois, it was a feast every freaking meal. It was crazy. So there you go. Does that help?
Yeah, I've been to one of your Christmases. It was a damn good feast.
Oh yeah, well that was a different family, but yeah, that's the wife's family. But yeah, you know, yeah, it was good. It was very good.
Yum yum.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Listeners don't know is we actually just looped that together for the previous 5 seconds.
Thank you very much.
My grandma makes a lot of good pies. That's what I got.
What kind of pies?
She makes pecan pie, sweet potato pie, pumpkin pie.
Did that get passed on? So are you a big pie man yourself? Like, can you make pies? Does she leave recipes?
She has not left me recipes for pies, but I'd take on the challenge.
You know what I like? I like pie and a damn fine cup of coffee.
Ah, indeed. Treat yourself. Give yourself a gift every day. Oh,
exactly.
Every day.
All right.
Diane.
I'm holding in my hand a small box of chocolate bunnies.
That's how you play. No, everybody. Let's move on now to Outnow Quickies.
Tim.
Each week and out now, we have one movie that we talk about during the week.
Tim?
I got that.
Pretty good. Yeah, spot on.
Mm-hmm. Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I did. I mean, I talked to you about it a couple weeks ago, but off air. But I watched Slow West, and it's a beautiful-looking movie. I can definitely see where some people didn't like some bits of it with some of the shootouts and whatever else. But it's a pretty solid Western movie, and again, it's shot gorgeously. There's just a lot of... there's some breathtaking cinematography and landscape in that movie. Not to mention Michael Fassbender was very good in it. So is Cody Smith McPhee, which I haven't really seen a lot of Cody Smith McPhee movies.
And grimy Ben Mendelsohn.
Grimy Ben Mendelsohn with like a Macklemore fur coat from the thrift shop.
You know, I really love Slow West. I think it's a fantastic film. I agree with that 91% of Rotten Tomatoes that it has. It's a solid movie.
Oh, I didn't know it was that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jimmy, have you seen any other movies this week?
Yeah, I really like. There was this little film called Uncle John that I really kind of dig. It's a weird movie because I don't think it's for everybody. It's very slow moving and it's unlike any movie I've seen. Recently, it feels like a drama, but it's a crime drama. But it's almost two different stories. But there's something really intriguing about it. And the Alex Moffat and Jenna Ling, I think is her name, Ling or something. They were so good together. They were they had this really great chemistry. It was just so much fun to watch. It's a really unique movie, but I think that's opening in on VOD or whatever.
What's the title of that release. One again?
It's called Uncle John. Uncle I really John. Liked it. Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. Tiny little movie, but I enjoyed it.
Very good.
Nice.
Jason, any recent movie you've seen recently that you want to talk about?
Yeah. How about Low, Medium, and High? Low, Hellions, the Bruce McDonald film, which I was looking forward to because I'm Pontypool, one of his last films, was like on my top 10 list. I loved that movie. Hellions, not so much. It's all over the place. It's definitely trying to be kind of Home Invasion meets Rosemary's Baby. It's all over the place. It's very difficult to sit through. Midway Cooties. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And seeing that trailer, I wanted to love it. So it was like it definitely had some good moments, but it wasn't great. It was good, wasn't great. And then on the good scale, I would say the documentary about the National Lampoon called Drunk, Stone, Brilliant, Dead was really fascinating to me. So I dug that a lot. I would definitely recommend that as a for anybody who's a fan of either the magazine or the movies or the radio show. You know, it's all covered in there, and it's really fascinating. So,
Nice,
very cool.
Yeah,
thanks for that. Quick and efficient too. Really fits the theme of Out Now Quickies.
Yeah.
Not much new has been coming out recently, so I mean, and we're about to get to a few weeks where there's a lot of things happening. But it's been pretty slow. So I've didn't go out and see the perfect guy, or
man.
I know, yeah. So don't have a review on that one.
Missing out on that one.
But I did see a couple things. One's not so new. One's new, but not quite a movie. I watched the HBO special Ferrell Takes the Field, which is the documentary that chronicles Will Ferrell's attempts to play every single position in baseball during one day, where he traveled to five different baseball games it's like the off season, the
spring training
games in Arizona, where he like basically got either a helicopter ride or a van ride over to the various games going on all on the same day. And it's for like a good cause and everything. There's like there's a charity involved, and it's a callback to another baseball player from the past. But it's entertaining. It's pretty entertaining to watch because you know, Will Ferrell's a funny guy, and he can being able to both kind of play baseball to the best he can as, you know, a 47-year-old man. and
is he really 47?
He's something like that. I believe he's 47. But it's got some good highlights for sure. It's worth checking out. It's only like 45 minutes long or something like that. But the other thing,
that's too long.
Okay. the other thing I did get to do is my girlfriend and I, we got to go and see Grindhouse at Cinespio over in LA at the cemetery over there, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, nice.
And what's neat about that is it was Grindhouse. It was the full 3.5 hour or 3 hour change cut of Grindhouse with the fake trailers and everything.
Nice.
Which I only saw that in theaters once. Like, I have the Blu-ray now, but like, I hadn't seen that in theaters since, you know, 2007. So getting a chance to see that again, that was great, and with an audience, no less, too. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is a fun movie to see with an audience in its entirety. It really is. That's when I saw video, not so much.
Did they ever release? You mentioned, you know, on Blu-ray. Did they ever release like the full version of that?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they, yeah. So, oh, wow. Yeah, at first they released them separately. You know,
right?
Because why not? To double that money.
Why?
But then, in 2010, I believe they finally came out with the Blu-ray that has the full cut of Grindhouse as well as the movies individually, and like it's a packed Blu-ray. You can pretty much get everything you want. Because obviously, Grindhouse, which made no money at the box office, deserved a giant Blu-ray that had everything you ever wanted. While Kill Bill, which had two successful movies at the box office, still does not have a full Blu-ray version of the movie combined. That's what makes sense. That's the world we live in right now. So thanks for that, Weinstein Company. Okay,
nice.
Let's see. Quick, Dad's Movie Corner. I know you like these, Abe.
I do. I like Mom and Dad's Movie Corners.
Well, okay, Mom's Movie Corner first. She watched
Mom's
Movie Minute. She watched Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation, and she loved it.
Oh,
Dad's Movie Corner. He watched all of Narcos on Netflix, and he really enjoyed it. And he also watched. He's watched all of Wet Hot American Summer, the TV series.
Oh, I just watched that. That's so funny.
And he's never seen the movie, so he's going to watch the movie next, which is interesting because he's basically watching he watched the prequel to the movie before he watched the actual
before
movie.
Watched the movie.
So he watched it backwards, so even though the you know, the TV series comes before the movie. So
that would just make even more sense for him now.
Well, I'll be curious what he takes. He really enjoyed the Wet Hot American Summer.
By the way, did Dad have a take on the subtitles in Narc? Is he a fan?
You like the series? I mean, yeah, he can read subtitles.
Some people are just like, no, there's too many subtitles for me to read. It's like, dude, go watch more movies.
Yeah, some people are lazy. I understand that. That's sad for them. More movies for us. Okay, so there we go.
Be careful. You point a finger at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at you.
This is true.
Yeah.
Why does this person only have three fingers?
Well, there's finger pointing. Too,
but, there's long nails.
The thumb does not count.
Yeah,
did you not watch What Hot American Summer?
I was
lying from that movie.
I got
the
joke.
Oh, my God.
I got it.
Oh, my God.
All right. That was that. No quickies.
Yep.
Let's move on now. Let's get to trailer talk, where we discuss some of the newest movie trailers, one they're coming out, what have you. And this week, we got one that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. I think a lot of us have, actually. It is called Krampus. This is the new film from Michael Dougherty. That name may be somewhat familiar if you saw the film Trick or Treat, a horror anthology from a few years back that took forever to finally make it to be released and seen by audiences. Michael Dougherty is also responsible for a number of scripts for Bryan Singer films, I believe, too. I believe he wrote or co-wrote X2, I believe Superman Returns, and I think Apocalypse as well. I think he's involved in all of these. But yeah, now he's back with another horror film, Krampus, which... for those that aren't aware of what Krampus is, it's basically the anti-Santa Claus, and he comes to, I guess, would be fair to say, punish the ones that are being a little too naughty. And the film seems something like a horror comedy of sorts, as you have Adam Scott, Toni Collette, David Koechner, Alison Tolman, and a number of other peoples all gathering together for the holidays, only to be encountered by this evil spirit.
It's what would have happened if nobody sang in Elf and Christmas Cheer went away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is the exact result. It makes sense because Jon Favreau, who directed Elf, his kid from Chef stars in this movie. So there you go.
Oh, perfect.
That kid.
Yeah.
The kid was good.
MJ, I believe, is his first name. With that all said, let's start with Jason. Jason, what are your thoughts on the Krampus trailer?
Oh, listen, I'm with you. Like, you know, I love Trick or Treat. So anything I've been watching for anything that Michael Dougherty was going to do. So I had seen the trailer like a while ago and was super stoked about it. So it was funny because I watched it with my kid and he sort of said, oh, it seems a little different from Trick or Treat. But I see a bit of a similarity because, again, he's going off of an old school kind of ancient story kind of thing, which the same thing he did with Trick or Treat, where he talks about All Hallows Eve and goes into the background. And so it's fun and it's got all the horror and the fun elements, but at the same time it's got that kind of Dougherty feel, so I'm excited. Anything he does I would watch. So
Jimmy,
you know, I agree with everything Jason just said. I also like what I like about Michael Dougherty. He gets these pretty decent casts. I mean, you have Toni Collette, she's not bad. You have Adam Scott. This is a really intriguing cast for this type of film, and it looks like a blast. I cannot wait for this film.
I can only hope that after this and Piranha 3D, Adam Scott makes another horror movie to complete his trilogy.
That's a box set.
You know, Piranha 3D was awesome too. So there you go.
I don't disagree with that. It's my favorite Aja movie.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Abe?
For the most part, it looks very intriguing. I couldn't tell if it was a comedy horror or straight up kind of horror, but I mean, it looks like it kind of leans more toward the horror toward the end. I haven't seen Trick or Treat, so if you guys are recommending it, and I think you guys all recommend it,
Trick or Treat is great.
Because Abe, I know, and we're in this episode where we're talking about a horror film, which is a horror comedy, I would say.
Horror comedy.
I would say Trick or Treat definitely leans in the same. I agree with you about Krampus. They're horror films for sure. Like Krampus is going to be a horror film, but it's certainly going to have, it looks like it's going to lean a lot towards comedy as well. That's why you have a cast that includes, you know, David Koechner and Adam Scott, for instance.
Right. Yeah. So guys who can do some whimsical comedy, but for the most part, it looks very, it looks tense at some scenes, and I'm curious to see how it goes. Actually, I'm very curious about it. The audience reaction was mixed as well. They were kind of like, is this supposed to be funny or is it? It's actually kind of scary. So I'm in that same boat.
And with that said, Trick or Treat definitely, it works. I mean, it's a horror film, but it definitely has plenty of humor in it as well. Like, and it's easily worth seeing.
Is it a slasher, blood and guts kind of horror movie?
It's an anthology. It's a mix of a number of things, because it's an anthology horror film. Like, there's a werewolf story in there. There's a something of a slasher story-ish in there.
So I'll watch it during the daytime, is what you're saying.
I think you'll be fine.
But the same thing, where Jimmy was saying about actors, like great actors, Brian Cox,
what's her name? Rogue.
Anna Paquin. Yeah, great actors, yeah.
And you know what he does?
Dylan Baker.
Dylan Baker. Yeah. I was going to say, don't forget the Baker, man. Yeah. He's awesome.
And you know what he does so well? What really worked about Trick or Treat is it just had the atmosphere and the feel of Halloween. It feels like a Halloween movie. And it, you know, you're with all the traditions, with all the horror, with the elements, it was a Halloween film. And I have a feeling the same is going to happen with this one, even though it is a horror film. I think there's going to be that Christmas spirit kind of running through it. I love what he does with holidays. I cannot wait to see this.
Absolutely.
Creepshow came to mind. I'm trying to think of like a tone that fits for sure. Creepshow is very familiar. But yeah, I'm obviously in on the Krampus trailer as well. Like I hearing about this movie got me excited. I really like Trick or Treat a lot, so I was like, oh yeah, let's see what else Michael Dougherty's gonna do. Trick or Treat 2 also, so like there's more of that coming. But in the meantime, we get a movie of Adam Scott and Toni Collette about Krampus, which looks like a lot of fun. I hope it delivers, and I'm pretty sure it probably will.
I agree.
Krampus opens December 4th, just in time for the holidays. So
just before that Star Wars money rolls in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes, and hopefully it works well. I know it's there's going to be a lot of practical effect work too. That's what I remember hearing. There's that Comic-Con.
I mean, the creature design looks amazing.
Yeah, like, we haven't even seen hind legs much of it, but you know,
and giant antlers like the fawn from whatchamacallit?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, so looks very cool. I mean, I'm kind of freaked out and intrigued.
Yeah. Well, Adam Scott's there. He should be your buddy.
Like, happy about that. He's going to be doing accounting all day.
There you go. All right. Now let's move on. Let's get to our main film review for The Visit.
Every day it's a getting closer.
Are you holding my camera properly? Swerve, girl.
Stop, both of you.
Hi, Mom. My parents asked if their grandchildren could visit them for a week.
Here we are.
This is where our mom grew up. I've wanted to spend time with you for so long.
Miss you guys.
Mom, we're having a great time.
I have not seen your Nana this happy in years. Bedtime here is 9:30. It's probably best you two shouldn't come out of your room after that. See you in the morning.
9:30.
What is that? It's 10:47. We think there's someone outside the door.
All right, that should have been some of the trailer for The Visit. M. Night Shyamalan has not had the best luck in the past decade or so. The man, once considered a directorial wunderkind, fell out of favor with critics and audiences with his films including The Village and The Happening, but now, after jumping onto some high-profile, high-budgeted films like The Last Airbender and After Earth, Shyamalan has self-funded The Visit for about $5 million, an original film that involves two kids documenting their trip to meet their grandparents for the first time. Of course, Nana and Papa are old, but these kids did not count on how wacky this old couple might actually be. The film, again, is self-funded by Shyamalan, produced by Jason Blum of Blumhouse Productions, and takes the form of a kind of mock documentary, and these are the results. The film came in at, I think, number two, but either way, it's like it's tied with The Perfect Guy, basically.
Yeah,
it's both
very
made about
close.
$26 million and change, but regardless... It may change tomorrow, but regardless, it's a cheap film that scored Shyamalan some better reviews than he's had in a while, and you know, yep. More than quadrupled its budget in its opening weekend, not counting marketing costs, of course. But either way, it's something doing well for him. But let's what do we think, Jimmy? What did you think of The Visit?
You know, here's the thing. I was never like a huge Shyamalan fan. The Sixth Sense I thought was kind of overrated. Hated Signs. I found a couple of other movies okay or watchable, and it was fine. I was never like, oh, he's the worst thing to ever come out of cinema, or he was never the best thing. So with this one, I found the trailer to be kind of obnoxious, and so I was expecting to kind of hate it, and I actually walked in having fun. It's short, it's sweet, it's kind of ridiculous. But it's a lot of fun. I was entertained, and I think I like the fact that he kind of went back to basics and just went with a cheap cast, a cheap story, and it didn't. You know what I liked about this movie that none of his other movies have been able to do? No,
what?
In every one of his other movies, they all whisper. Everyone talks like this in every one of his movies. Every single
that.
One. It is true. Every single one. And this was the first time it was like, hey, I'm being stupid and Yahtzee. You know, it was more fun. And I think it was also, I think, more self-assured. It just felt tighter. It felt just like I like the fact that he had a limited budget and played with it and had fun with it and didn't try to be too serious and was unafraid to laugh at the material. I really liked it. It was good. It was a fun time.
Jason.
Okay, well, before I start mine, I have to say I have to give a thanks a lot shout out to Drew Davis because I went on Jimmy's article, which talked about should we give M. Night Shyamalan another chance, and I was reading some of the comments, and Drew Davis proceeded to give out the surprise of the movie. So I was, and this was before I saw the film. So I was like, oh, thanks, Drew. That was really cool. That being said, yeah, tell Drew not to do that anymore, Jimmy. It's terrible. But that being said, even though I knew what the surprise was, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought it was, granted, it didn't feel like an M. Night Shyamalan, I always want to say Shyamalan,
Shyamalan.
Shyamalan. Okay. Shyamalan. So
just call him Nighty.
Right.
Well, the big one, Nighty.
Right. But that being said, you know, I there's some of them that I liked. You know, I definitely think Unbreakable it's one of my favorites. So I love that one. But I was going to say this one didn't feel like a movie of his to me. That was perfectly all right. And I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. It definitely, you know, most people said, oh, it's not scary, but it creeped me out, man. So I had a great time with it. There were some things that were obviously little things that didn't make sense or little things that had kind of holes and stuff. But other than that, I thought it was a great movie. I had a great time with it, and it definitely creeped me out. The grandparents are great in the movie, and even the found footage aspect or documentary aspect, whatever you want to call it, didn't really bother me that much. But I think, like I said, I think what made this movie so good to me was that it didn't feel like a film that he would have done. So it worked. So I'll give him full credit for it. You know, maybe he's trying to reinvent himself or do something different, and it was good.
Abe?
Yeah, as far as M. Night Shyamalan's career goes, I never disliked Shyamalan. And I think that's mostly because I stayed away from the movies that everyone said weren't that good. Like, I've never seen The Village, or I've never seen, I don't know.
The Happening.
And I never watched The Last Airbender. So, you know, I've stayed away from his movies. And I did like Sixth Sense. I did like Unbreakable. I thought Signs was okay. But yeah, for the most part, I never really disliked it. But I agree with all of you with what you've said so far in terms of the movie itself. I did find it creepy at times. It's more creepy and tense than it is scary per se, and there's some laughs in it. What I liked about it is that it's a simple enough design where these kids are kids, right? So they're like 13 and presumably 15 or something like that, and they go out into the woods with their grandparents, but they're cut off from technology. You know, he says it very quickly, there's no bars here, we have to like connect to get the internet. But it's set up in such a way that, yeah, you can't really run away from anything because you're out in the middle of the woods.
And they're kids.
Yeah, and you're children. And so you tend to listen to what adults are saying, which is, oh, man, like, they're acting kind of weird. It's okay because they're old. That's what their mom says, right? It's like, no, it's fine. They're old. Like, and, you know, I like how it kind of builds up as the week progresses and you see some of the screen sets, or I'm sorry, the screen text that says like Monday or Wednesday or whatever else. So that's good buildup. I feel as though the payoff was a little bit too short. I would have liked it to be a little bit longer, like the third act, just in terms of what they could be doing. But I also played the game of could I guess the ending, and I was able to. That's if you're really paying attention. And I was patting myself on the back, but I mean, go in there and you'll have a good time. I had some problems with it, but it's a pretty enjoyable flick with a lot of folks.
Yeah, I basically agree with you guys. I like the film overall. I don't love it. With Shyamalan, I mean, it's pretty easy to kind of track where you are because it's not really there's not really much argument for the, you know, the films that are considered, you know, not very good from him. I do like The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable and Signs quite a bit. I like all of those movies quite a bit. I mean, obviously, I think Sixth Sense is, I think it's a very good drama that happens to have some horror in it. And Unbreakable is just a very interesting movie to watch in general. Then you get to The Village and The Happening and the Lady in the Water, which I think is the bottom. But there's a question, I think, about that feedback we'll get to. You know, it's nice to it's weird to like think of this as a comeback of sorts because it's just a film that's, you know, not bad from him for the first time in a while. But like I guess my main gripe with this movie is that it feels less like a like look how great this is because Shyamalan's doing something original again, and more just like a kind of a way to recharge the engines for him. Which it seems like having like the mock documentary format, it feels like a crutch at times. Like I feel like he's a good enough director where I believe that this is his 11th movie overall. Like, I mean, I feel like he's a good enough director where he probably could have made this movie straight without having to employ the use of the found footage aspect to make it more effective, or at least be able to cut in and out of it or something, do something different with it. I kept thinking, well, I think M. Night's a very good visual director, so I don't know why he needed to use this way unless it was like he really wanted to keep it cheap.
Well, I will give him credit for. I just want to jump on that really quick and say, you know, when I interviewed those guys, they were talking about the found footage, and it's not really a found footage.
Mock documentary.
But he does it rather well. And that's a lot of these guys who want to do a found footage film. They're just like, oh, well, take camera. I've been run with that. And you're just like, okay, I'm going to throw up. You can tell he's got some crap behind it. And it's actually unusually well shot for this type of film.
Well, it's not unusually well shot because it's not a it's not a found footage movie. It's a documentary, so it's not supposed to look all shaky and stuff. It's supposed to look like a documentary, which it does for the most part. Cameras are stable in documentaries. Mm-hmm. That said, the only argument I have with that is, why are this little girl's taking a lot of establishing shots? I mean, she's going out.
She's an auteur.
She's apparently waking up early in the morning to get these like very zoomed in shots or far away wide shots of the land and everything to set up the day, or like night shots that really like set up the, you know, when twilight's happening. Like
she knows how to do her stuff, man.
Apparently,
she's a talented girl.
Speaking of the kids, I do like this cast quite a bit. I think both the kids and the Nana and Pop Pop, I think they're very well cast.
And don't forget Catherine Hahn. It was refreshing to see her. She's so good. And
she is. Catherine Hahn has that moment where she's like saying goodbye to them on the train, and it's this it's like 10 seconds of like being goofy to being incredibly sad that she's about to lose her children for a week. And it's like, this is why Catherine Hahn's very good, and she needs more
movies. Yes. she needs great. More. Not only does she need more movies, she needs more leading roles because she's fantastic. She really is.
One thing I will add is I did like the way that they established that, hey, we're making a documentary, so this is why we have two different views in the movie. Like, my brother's going to be holding one camera with a B-roll, and I've got the main camera. So I like that, how they established that, whereas something like Paranormal Activity, it's like, oh, well, he's using his Skype on his laptop, and I guess he's going to take it across the street with him, and the internet doesn't cut out, so I guess it's okay. But no, it's simple enough. Again, it's kind of just isolated enough for them to just say, we're recording everything that we do here because we want to make something for our mom, and weird stuff just happens.
They justify the format use. I can agree with that to a point. I still think it feels like a crutch to me. It feels like like a filmmaker as talented as Shyamalan seems to be slumming. That's kind of how I got it.
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I agree with you to a certain extent. I think it was just his way to shoot it quickly and cheaply and to do something that he hasn't done before. And I mean, I'm speaking for him. I don't know if that's the reason.
I can agree with that, but I also, I mean, it's fine. Like, it, when you're a director like Shyamalan, who's become something of a punchline for people, true. I mean,
I saw a trailer for a film that he just wrote. I think it was Devil. And I remember when that was coming out. And I was sitting in the theater and people were like, the trailer started and people were like, oh, yeah, ooh, yeah, this looks good.
Then the name comes up.
Then the name and people like, boo. Yeah, people booing it. You almost have to feel sorry for the guy.
I did feel sorry for him because that's sad. Like, literally a person's name. I've never seen that for any movie.
No, besides for maybe Uwe Boll. I've seen it for him. That's it.
I've never seen a trailer for an Uwe Boll movie in a theater. So,
wait, didn't he have that one Jason Statham movie? Anyway.
Yes, he did. I saw one and the it Kingdom got some of whatever, laughs. Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Yeah.
I think I saw one of his trailers at like a film festival or like a horror thing. And I think they showed House of the Dead. And I was like, that was. It was kind of that same reaction.
Which credit, by the way, I like Devil. I think that's a fun little movie. But
The elevator movie, yeah. I do want to add very quickly that I like what the biopic mock documentary aspect of the camera lends to the movie, which is it lends to some creepy shots. Like, there's some shots where she's locked in a room, and out of the corner of the frame, there's an old woman, and she kind of tried to sneak away more, and there she is again. So I don't know how you do that with a traditional setup of you know, we're going to third person it with everybody in front kind of thing.
I can see how you could do that, but I mean, I understand what you're saying. I get it. Yeah.
But that's exactly why I said it didn't feel like a film of his to me, because mm-hmm. you know, when I think of his movies, especially the early stuff, they're shot very cinematically. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very, as you were saying, very visually interesting, and this one definitely felt like completely different. But it didn't bother me. The one thing that did bother me was the stove thing, because to me, I love that in the trailer, right? She says, you know, get in the stove to clean it. But what to me, I wanted to say to Em, I wanted to say, get a bigger stove, because what happens is she gets in, and the whole purpose is for her to why she would get in was to clean the stove. But she gets in, and literally she's right there, and so in order to get all the way in, she's got to kind of like bend at the knees and push her feet in. And I thought, oh, you need a bigger stove, because then when she gets in to clean it, it makes sense for her.
Well,
to
Jason,
get in.
I've never cooked children before, but
well,
I believe
just,
you.
You know what I mean? And it was like, well, why would anyone like scoot their legs up to get in there? You'd get in there to clean it, but I was like, oh, you need a bigger stove, man. It's a minor thing that didn't ruin the movie, but I was like, this is weird, man. Why would anybody go?
Maybe we should go outside and film some evening shots of the house.
Okay, sounds good, sister.
Could you clean the oven for me, Becca? Get all the way inside.
Becca?
She's done it before.
We really should film something outside.
Do this first.
I'll be quick.
This will just take a second.
I think there's a reason for that. Yeah. I think there's a reason for that. And I think, slight spoiler alert, just in case, I guess. I think that was kind of the joke. I think because they hyped that up in the trailer that, oh my gosh, it's going to be like Hansel and Gretel. And it's almost like the granny, Nana or whatever her name is, whatever they call her, is just like, ah, look at me, I'm playing Hansel and Gretel. Ah, I'm going to cook.
I mean, there is a lot.
It's total a joke.
There's a lot of fairy tale imagery in this movie.
Yeah.
Between,
oh my
like,
God,
yeah. Wells yeah. and like, I mean, there's a ton of that in there. Like, it's certainly part of the theme.
I also just liked how they threw a lot of ideas at where the story could lead, and you know it's kind of just to throw you up. They're not really red herrings per se.
There are red herrings. I mean, we don't need to get into what they are.
Right.
But there are a number of things that happen that make you think something else could be going on.
Right.
But,
mm-hmm.
That was all great. Yeah.
But which is great though, because it kind of keeps you on your toes. Well, the other thing that's also great is throughout the days that they're there. They don't linger on things that happen at night. It's just a quick shot just to build up more tension toward the third act of the film, which I appreciated. The other thing I really appreciated is that the two actors, the boy and the girl, mm-hmm. they are at odds at the first. You know, the boy's kind of more suspicious than his sister. And then later they kind of are on the same page of, hey, something weird's going on. Like, we have to get out of here kind of thing. Which I like. It's not like a Jurassic World thing where Bryce Dallas Howard's like, no, we have to stay here because we can fix this. It's like,
yeah.
No, they're just thinking logically, like, there's something wrong here. Like, we really need to call our mom.
It's funny when
and
you
tell her
when they do try. And so this lends to, I guess, the scare factor of the movie. I would say it's more creepy than scary, but there are some good moments. And what I think the best moment in the film for me is when they do try to leave at a certain point, and there's a certain reveal that happens, and that made me go, oh shit, like that was,
yeah,
and then they then something else happens, but trying to tiptoe around things, but
right,
I'm basically saying is that there is like a good amount of tension in this film, which Shyamalan is good at doing, even
sure.
like The Village, which is a movie I don't like. There's tension in that movie on in certain scenes that work really well. Based
is that
on
the one with Mark Wahlberg?
No, that's The Happening. The
oh, okay.
Village is
yeah,
where they're
happening.
In a village with Mark with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, Joaquin.
And Bryce Dallas Howard, your favorite.
The lady in the water herself.
Yeah, the lady in the water herself. But so, I mean, there's tension, but there's also a lot of good comedy, and not just like this is funny because
legit
we shouldn't be laughing. Like, there's legit comedy.
Well, like I said, he doesn't take himself seriously with this film. It's fun.
You say that,
it's
but he, I mean, he has comedy. Like, Signs is a really funny movie when it's
Signs is
scary.
A terrible movie.
No, it isn't. There's a lot of good comedy in it.
I did not like that movie at all.
Jimmy's now floating outside your window, waiting
yes.
to bust in.
Yes. Let me in. there's a difference between the comedy quote in Signs. This was just meant to be fun. Signs has a deeper meaning, blah, 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 whatever.
It's a different kind of movie, but regardless of that, this movie has comedy in it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, I think it has more blatant comedy. That actually works. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like childish humor, too. I mean, there's a part where the kid's like, I'm blind, because he sees his grandma just scraping on a wall. It's like, I laughed really hard.
That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's
moments like that that just, like, work in terms of, like, what the way to balance the suspense with the comedy. You kind of start nervously laughing because there's stuff that's legit funny in this movie.
Yeah, there's nervous laughter. You're right. There's nervous laughter, and then there's just laughter because he changes all his swear words to pop singers, and you're just hearing pop singers' names pop up from here and there.
Or that Yahtzee game that you'll never forget.
The Yahtzee game. I'm never going to play Yahtzee again. I'm glad I don't know how to play.
Not while eating, like, cookies.
Yahtzee!
I will say, The ending, but I mean, this mainly is because of the boy, the young Alexander, and the no good, very terrible, horrible,
terrible,
very bad
horrible,
day.
No good, very
that
bad
kid,
day.
He has this persona where he's like, or he wants to be a rapper, and like, so
pretty good.
It's written in a way where it's like, I can get that a 13-year-old would do it this way, which is why it's, you know, awful, but like decent at the same time. It's like, well, he's 13, so it's like, it feels like a 13-year-old wrote it. So credit to Shyamalan for that, I guess, for making that one.
I mean, he's just rapping about how he's, you know, short and the women don't like him.
Yeah.
So it's not anything like he's drug dealing or whatever.
That said, I don't like the end credits of this movie. I don't actually like both epilogues of this movie. I think there's a point where it could have ended, but then it has two more scenes where
I agree with the first epilogue. The first epilogue, I think, was a little bit weird. I didn't really expect
there's
it.
An aspect which is very Shyamalan where there's sentimentality that comes out of it, which is set up earlier in the film quite effectively, given that it's kind of documentary feel. It kind of goes into who these kids are in a way that you would not necessarily expect, but because of the format it kind of allowed. That's one where I'm like, all right, I can give it seems like a cheat, but because of the format visually, it makes sense that this kind of thing would come out of a discussion in some way. But that said, it leads into this some finality to the film that I think just kind of comes as like, all right, well, I think we could have stopped here, but instead we have this scene, and then we have a fun scene to kind of go with. It's like, all right, it's a lean movie as it is. I think we could have chopped off a little bit of this. That's me. That's where I came at it.
Okay, again with the spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
By the way, Drew Davis did write spoiler alert, but he wrote it at the end of his sentence. make sure you double thank him for that.
Would you leave Drew Davis alone, poor guy?
He completely told me everything.
What I liked about this twist. You know, it didn't feel like a typical his name is. It didn't feel like a typical twist. It felt more like an urban legend, the hook is in the car type twist, which I enjoyed. I thought that was a lot more fun, and I thought it was a lot more earned, too. I felt it felt like it worked within the context of this story much better than some of his previous.
You hit it on the nail.
You say this, and it's not like he's had many twists in his movies.
Well, I mean, I think you said it correctly, Jimmy. It's like it works with this story, so it's not anything like huge. Like, by the way, this is all a dream, and it's so like it's so ambiguous and so much larger in the world in the context of things. Like, no, it's actually it's pretty much set within the world of this movie, and it doesn't really go beyond. Like, it's not like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense kind of thing, and then all of a sudden like. You're looking back on everything and you're just gasping. It's just more of like, oh, wow, you know what? I probably should have seen that coming, and that actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing I'll say is...
that's a whole different conversation about The Sixth Sense and not this movie, so whatever.
Bad example, sure. I don't know. Anyway, but the last thing is, just along those same lines, it kind of just gave me vibes of some old school Tales from the Crypt stories, like, you know, the way that those TV show episodes played out. And that's kind of what I took away from this movie.
Which is why I don't have much higher praise to give it. It's just, it's fine. Like, it's it's an entertaining 90 minutes that, like, you get in, you get out, and you get what you're you get what you wanted. You're pretty much satisfied with what you got.
It's like Burger King, I guess.
It's just, like, if it was, you know, if it was, like, a director that's, you know, new, like, or, like, it's his second film or his, you know, debut feature, it'd be like, I feel like I'd be more impressed. But as it stands, it's like M. Night Shyamalan, who's capable of making good movies, or at least making movies that are more interesting to me. It's like, well, this is pretty simple and straightforward, so good job. Pat on the back, and hopefully, you know, this, you can parlay this into something, you know, more more creative and bigger budgets that can really occupy your time well, and hopefully is better written than the movies that you've done poorly on and over the
like past David decade. Lynch told Louis C.K. in the episode where he's trying to train him to take Letterman's job, you gotta go away to come back.
Baby steps.
Can we have a return to David Lynch now, please?
I want a new
Read
the
card. Yes.
You're not funny.
Any other thoughts on The Visit?
No, we're done.
Go see it. Yeah.
Okay, go see it. It's nice. Yeah. It's fine. Decent movie. It's a pretty good movie.
Where should people go see this movie?
Me?
It's a dollar theater.
Dollar theater. Maybe bargain matinee if you're in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, I can go along with that. All right.
Jason?
It's a precursor to Halloween, so I enjoyed it, and I'd pay to go see it, man. It was fun. I paid to see it once, but I'd pay to see it, sure.
It's nice to get a good horror. I mean, this has not been the greatest year for like mainstream horror films, so that we're kind of grasping at straws to get something good. So this is decent enough.
By the way, and even ones that I've seen that I like aren't necessarily even out yet, because there was one at LA Film Fest called Shut In that I just loved. I would totally put on my top 10 list, but I think it's done by the same people who did Insidious and Conjuring and all that stuff. But it's great, but it hasn't even come out yet. So this was awesome fun. So it's called Shut In. It's basically about a woman who is an agoraphobic, can't leave her house. Robbers come in. And she's got some surprises for them. So it's tasty. So be on the lookout for that one. This is a great. I enjoyed it. I had a great time with it, and it's coming up to Halloween, so it was a nice precursor to that.
Indeed.
All right, so let's move on here before we get to some other fun stuff. Though, let's get to a little bit of fun in our own way. It's our sponsor.
Okay.
Audible.
Let's do that.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audiobooks and other similar programs for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any kind of MP3 device. Additionally, Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook download of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Choose a book to download for free and start listening. It's that easy. audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. So be a winner, read, or listen at audibletrial.com/podcast. All right, Abe, let's move on now. Let's get to some feedback.
Feedback.
This is, of course, where we go over the various questions and answers on our Facebook page, facebook.com/podcast, where we've asked a number of questions and you listeners gave us some answers. Jason and Jimmy, feel free to give us your own answers if you have any for the following questions that we're going to throw out there.
First question we asked everyone is, what is your favorite film about siblings? Tyler writes, I'm tempted to say Star Wars or Thor, but since those movies aren't exclusively about the sibling relationship, I might have to go with The Godfather. Maybe? He wrote a question mark with a maybe. So. Next one, Rob writes The Godfather and Rain Man.
There you go.
Nish writes 2005 Pride and Prejudice. Tammy has Four Brothers and The Fighta, so she loves Mark Wahlberg. Justin has, does Cruel Intentions count?
Sure.
Yeah.
And
lastly, Philip has My Neighbor Totoro, Warrior, and The Darjeeling Limited.
Oh, that's a good pick. I like that.
That's a good pick. Yeah.
Warrior, too. Yeah.
I like that Warrior. Yeah. Warrior's awesome.
Yeah, some good. Yeah, Rain Man.
Some good obviously. Sibling movies are there.
Yeah. Sibling. How about some underrated sibling movies? Jack's Back with James Spader, where he plays two brothers.
Oh, all right.
I like that. And
really?
Then, I love that. I think he plays two different.
Really?
It's very subtle, but it's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm a big Spader fan. You don't like him in that one? And then Dead Ringers. Dead Ringers.
I was going to say, Dead Ringers.
It's a good one. There you go.
I'd add an adaptation there.
Oh, adaptation. Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. The Coffin Brothers.
That one was sad.
Everyone knows in real life. What was I just thinking of? A Tale of Two Sisters. There's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next question.
There's Halloween. Don't forget Halloween too.
There you go. Yeah. Halloween.
Next question. We have favorite films about grandparents. Tyler has Grumpy Old Men. Were they grandparents? Or were they just grumpy old men?
I don't know.
I'm sure they were grandparents.
I haven't seen the movie since like 1997.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Tammy writes Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Justin has Cocoon and Batteries Not Included. And Philip writes The Royal Tenenbaums.
What? No Grandma's Boy?
Oh, wow.
Now we have it. Jimmy says Grandma's Boy.
on Golden Pond, maybe?
Oh, God.
There you go.
You old poop.
Balloons, Norman, balloons.
That's right.
Oh, look at the loons.
Next question we ask everyone is...
I'm not done with the loons.
Oh, God.
Please continue.
Balloons, Norman. You have to be good to your daughter.
It's pretty good.
And thank the you. Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in a Dramatic Series goes to...
Jimmy O.
Yes.
favorite film set around a farm... Philip has Signs and Fantastic Mr. Fox. And lastly, Manish has Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes!
I kind of thought, and I don't even really care for this movie as much as others do, but I thought someone would say Field of Dreams, but I guess that wasn't happening.
I thought someone was going to say Babe.
Yeah.
I like Country with Jessica Lange. Wow, I like that movie.
Reach. Okay,
good. Or Rock-A-Doodle-Doo.
Hey, it's on a farm.
Did Frailty have some sort of farm aspect to it?
Were they on a farm in Frailty? Or they kind of in a country?
Sure.
Sure.
I don't really feel like they had a farm in that. Like, it's a great movie. I love Frailty. I'm trying to think if they had a farm. Like, they had land.
Wait, wasn't there a scene in Frailty where Matthew McConaughey is like, the loons don't.
Oh, my God.
The loons.
That's good movie, my brother. Frailty.
Oh, you got me with that one. I was like, I know what Jim is doing. That son of a bitch.
I don't even need my rock doll for this one. This is awesome.
Next question we ask everybody is your favorite mock documentary film or films. Tyler has What We Do in the Shadows was incredibly funny. I wholeheartedly agree with that, Tyler.
Mm.
Philip has The Skylar Brothers, Utility Man, The Quest for Cooperstown. Oh, The Sklar Brothers. Utility Man, the quest for Cooperstown about Jose Oquendo.
I like you. You were gonna say rockumentaries, which would be right because Spinal Tap should be on.
Spinal Tap, right?
Yeah.
And just any Christopher Guest movie.
Waiting for Guffman. Yeah, there's so many good ones.
Show.
Yeah.
All right. What directors do you wish would try something different?
Hmm.
Richard writes, "I would like to see Nolan direct a comedy." Anish writes, Nancy Myers doing a horror would be amazing. Scott Butler writes, coming of age story by the Wachowskis.
Hmm.
Philip has a DC or Marvel superhero film by the Coen brothers. I don't need that last one so much, but the coming of age by the Wachowskis, that sounds really intriguing.
Yeah. I would like to see the Coen brothers do a straight up horror film, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
That'd be interesting.
What's the closest they got? Like Blood Simple?
Blood Simple, maybe.
No Country's thrilling, for sure. It's not a horror movie.
Well, I think No Country for Old Men, I mean, they have some very dark elements. What was the other one? Miller's Crossing.
Barton Fink has a little bit
of it.
Barton Fink is like psychological horror in some way.
Yeah. But I want a straight up horror. I want them to do a slasher film with like boobs.
That's the goat. That's the thing.
Jimmy's gonna line up to
like,
be
forget the atmosphere, the mood, and
forget that. It just needs the boobs. It just needs like, oh, John, I'm going swimming, and then suddenly the top
classic Coen dialogue right there. Oh, John, I'm going swimming.
And then you have John coming out. He goes, the loon.
Repeat. Last question we asked everybody is your favorite performance from an M. Night Shyamalan film. Justin has Adrian Brody in The Village. Philip has tossed it between Haley Joel Osment in Sixth Sense and Joaquin Phoenix in The Village. Richard has Sam Jackson.
Suddenly coming from what's happening?
I don't know. Richard has Sam Jackson in Unbreakable. Is it Dr. Glass or is it Mr. Glass?
Mr. Glass.
Mr. Glass.
They called him Mr. Glass.
You know how he knew? It was the kids.
They called him Mr. Glass.
And last, Manish has Toni Collette. I'm guessing
that's exactly what I was going to say, actually.
She was my favorite
thing in The Sixth Sense. She
was
great.
Sad.
I mean, she's nominated for that movie, actually.
She did. Yeah, she did. That's what she said.
That
is a good one. Next, we'll move into questions that you guys asked us, and we'll answer here on the panel today. Philip has, is there a Shyamalan film widely considered a flop that you like? I'm not the right person to answer this.
If there's one of his, like, of his film, of, you know, basically everything after Signs, because all those films, like, The Village made money, but, like, that was the first one where, like, critics didn't like it. Then The Lady in the Water didn't make money and nobody liked it. Then The Happening happened, same story. Last Airbender. that's a movie, and then After Earth. Like, even we didn't hate After Earth.
We didn't hate it.
Like, we didn't like it too much.
Problems with it.
We just had problems.
I don't know if I would say that, you know, it's not one of those movies that I would go back and rewatch.
No, I wouldn't rewatch many of it. Like, the only one, so The Happening is not a movie I like, but The Happening is a movie that I don't hate to the degree that some people seem to. I think it's too, like, odd and quirky to, like, hate that movie. It's not good. But I like that's not my bottom, which it seems to be for many people when it comes to Shyamalan.
But, from the wind, run from the wind.
It's so, like it's so goofy in that one, but there's like some good stuff in it too. Like it's just odd.
Anything from you guys, Jimmy or Jason?
My list is pretty standard, man. I like the first few, but after that, it kind of. And listen, I'm a Giamatti fan. I would watch him do anything, but I was like, oh, Lady in the Water. I was just like, oh.
That's my bond.
How can you ruin Giamatti?
Worse than Fred Claus?
He has one great great scene.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's not worse.
I like him in Fred Claus.
Yeah, Fred Claus.
He has one great scene in Lady in the Water where he's like, it's towards the end where he's like monologuing, and it's like, it's because it's Giamatti, it's like, no one can mess that up.
Is it intense monologuing?
Well, it's he's recalling what happened to like his past, and
we hear some of your Giamatti?
It's very emotional. I'm not going to go into my Giamatti right now. It's late. all right.
I like Giamatti when he does the loons, Norman. The loons.
Okay, moving
Jimmy,
on.
Jimmy # that son of a bitch.
Justin writes. Justin asked this question. So I watched Mad Max Fury Road. I have to say, I don't get the hype. While it was good, I thought Jurassic World was much better.
Oh my God.
I guess that's what makes us human, our ability to see something and get a different perspective. My question is, did I miss something with that movie? Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to say maybe, Justin.
Look. The thing about movies, it is personal. If you're not going to get something out of it, you can. There are certain movies that, you know, they'll get 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, and you'll go see it, and you'll be like, yeah, I don't get it. But Mad Max, no, I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know how someone couldn't get it. I just don't.
I mean, I think I'll give Justin the benefit of the doubt, just because if he saw it recently, you know, there's so much hype around it from the summertime. It's like, oh, this movie was great, 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 and then you go and see it, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what everyone was thinking about. And quite honestly, I think this happened with me with The Dark Knight. I've since seen The Dark Knight repeat times, and I like it more and more, and I understand the pathos more and more. But the first time I saw it, it was like a month after people were raving about it, and I saw it in theaters, and I was literally like one of three people sitting in the theater, and I was like, it's okay. Like, I don't really know what people were talking about.
Why did you wait a month to see The Dark Knight?
I can't remember why either. I have no good reason.
That's all I
got. You're weird. Yeah, that's all.
Not seeing the dark. No, he's waiting a month.
For me, being such a huge George Miller fan, you know, his early, especially the early, you know, Mad Max stuff, is just his visuals, and he hadn't really done anything really hardcore like that. He'd done like Happy Feet and some other stuff, but you know, that's why I think it didn't necessarily bother me that it was more a Furiosa story than a Mad Max story, because it was all for me about the Miller visuals and that. It's so unbelievably, like, visual eye candy is unbelievable.
The Road Warrior and Thunderdome are not really Mad Max stories either. They're just a guy that happens to get involved in stuff. Like,
right.
That's the key of those. Like,
he unwittingly ends up having to help people, and that happens every time. And it always cracks me up when people say Tom Hardy doesn't do anything. You can count how many times he's saving her ass in this movie, and it's like, no, he's kind of important in Mad Max. He's kind
all
of
while
important.
Giving like a little slight thumbs up and then going back to driving.
There's a lot of physical
acting. I love
acting.
That. Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's a beautiful GIF these days.
Whereas Jurassic World, you know, I didn't see that in the theater. I kind of watched it later, and the thing that I felt about it was the director was the guy who made Safety Not Guaranteed, which I loved that year, and I put on my top 10 list. I never if you had just shown me Jurassic World, which was fine, it was entertaining, I wouldn't have guessed that that was the same director. I mean, it did a good job, but I never would have said, oh, that's the guy who did Safety Not Guaranteed. So, I mean, I guess it's okay, but
it's not like Safety Not Guaranteed had like this huge visual stamp on it to really single it out. Like,
no,
it's a good movie, but it's not one that like
makes a lot of that movie.
Well, it had good characters, which Jurassic World didn't.
Right, right.
You know, like at all.
Mm-hmm. As far as Mad Max goes, I mean, I don't know what to say when you don't, like, you know, you don't get the hype or whatever. Like, it's hard.
You just don't.
If you don't, you don't. Exactly. I mean, I can only say watch it again. Try it. I don't know.
Yeah, I probably
well, I think it's true, though. I've actually talked to a lot of people that are, you know, they're like, I saw Mad Max Fury Road. I didn't really get it. And then they come back to me a week later and I saw it again. It was great.
I mean, I think it's a matter of what you might be looking for in the film to begin with. Like, I mean, honestly, I think the action filmmaking alone in that movie, like, all you cannot like the story or what have you, but like the action is so good in that movie that it'd be hard for me to walk away thinking, well, that was not worth it. That said, he did say it was good. Like he didn't dislike the movie.
Just didn't get the hype.
At the same time, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it has weirdness in it, but that I like that about it. It's different that way, that it has kind of a weirdness to it in the stories.
I guess what we're saying is, Justin, we're going to need you to write your feelings on the Mad Max series, and then we'll get back to you with a more thorough answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell us how you felt about Road Warrior, the first one, and then is it Return or Return to Thunderdome or...
Mad Max Beyond.
Beyond.
Yes. I was going to say, that's where the hype's coming from, is like, we haven't seen a Mad Max kind of film from George Miller in like, when was Thunderdome? Like 80-something? 87?
87.
Yeah. I mean, of course there's going to be hype. We've been waiting for forever to see another George Miller Mad Max
movie. Is also that, it, you know, it's one of the best reviewed movies of the year.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Anyhow, hopefully that answers your question. Last question that somebody asked us, Gary, friend of the show, asked, what films are you most excited for seeing this fall? Among these faves, which films do you expect to be the biggest awards contenders and why? That's like a podcast within itself.
God, yeah, that's like a whole thing.
But can we give a nutshell?
I mean, there's a number of movies I'm anticipating this fall that are not necessarily even Oscar contenders, although some of them might be. Like the Steve Jobs movie I'm looking forward to, and that's probably an Oscar contender. I keep Sicario is next week. I don't know if that's an Oscar contender, but I'm looking forward to it.
But it looks interesting, and I'm a big fan of John Krasinski's wife.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
I like calling her by her name.
Right.
Mrs.
Krasinski.
I mean, and then there's winter stuff. There's, you know, Hateful Eight and like The Revenant coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever David O. Russell's movie, Joy, I believe that's coming out.
That looks actually pretty good.
There's a Spielberg movie. I mean, there's stuff like that that's in The Martian, obviously.
Martian looks great. I've seen like 45 minutes of The Martian, and I loved it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I loved it. I love what I saw.
Somebody's in the inner circles in Hollywood.
That's what she...
Well, Jimmy's not at TIFF where you could have seen the whole movie, so...
I know. Exactly. Oh. No, we have Chris Bumbray.
We need to get the Kickstarter going for Jimmy.
My boy Chris Bumbray is at TIFF right now, and he's doing some great reviews over at JoeBlow.com. I do have to shout it out because he's really talking about some really... Sicario, I think he said it... probably will be his favorite film of the year. Loved it. Yeah, nice. Loved it.
That's high praise.
We have 4 months left, but yeah, sure, okay. Yeah. But
the one I was looking forward to was Midnight Special, and that was the third film from the guys who did Take Shelter and Shotgun Stories and
Jeff Nichols.
Jeff Nichols, yeah. And
it's
so,
fourth out then.
Yes, yeah, fourth. Yeah,
that was supposed to be this year, and it's not now.
No, it got pushed. So, but he's got another one coming out called 99 Homes. So I would go see it just because Michael Shannon's in.
Michael Shannon's got 99
Homes. Yes. Michael Shannon's got one coming out.
He has
99 Homes.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
As far as like just like awards contend, I mean, there's movies that are you just kind of can guess, like Carol or The Danish Girl,
or Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know, Road Chip.
Can't wait.
You see, it's called Chip because it sounds like Trip, but it's not. That's why it's.
Oh, those cheeky bastards!
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Is it? Aren't we forgetting like Paranormal Activity, like?
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, that's gonna be amazing. So that's probably gonna be best picture right there.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of movies that are coming out. I mean, we're gonna get to it too. We're probably gonna have an episode sometime down the line of.
Have like when we get to like December, we'll have.
And definitely, we're gonna have the recap stuff for the year.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
And October, you were mentioning the paranormal thing, but there is a lot of horror films coming out in October. Hopefully,
Crimson Peak coming out. Which,
yeah.
Oh, that one I'm excited for. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jimmy's favorite, the Eli Roth duo, The Green Inferno and Knock Knock. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There
the
you
one go. With what's his face?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I'll be seeing Green Inferno soon too.
Saw it a few weeks ago.
You did? Oh.
How? Oh, really? How was it?
It's a movie that I saw that I don't think I'm supposed to be able to talk about
yet. Oh, shit. Well,
but the episode is going to drop on Monday or Tuesday, so by then the embargo should be gone, right?
No, because it doesn't
get out. No, because it doesn't get out.
I know.
No fun. Let's
talk about it off air.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on now. Let's,
That was feedback.
So what time is it now, Abe?
Aaron, I think it might be just some time for some games here.
That's pretty.
That was just like how grandma played it.
That was, of course, the improv theme for games. And I have a game for you guys this week.
Balloons, Norman, the loons.
The game
just
here.
Stretching right now just to win.
The game here is called Whose House? Bloom House. Whose House? Bloom's House. The game where it is a game where I've taken titles from various Blumhouse Productions movies and have changed them around. And you have to figure out what movie I'm referring to based off these various title changes I've made.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Ouija.
I'm going to read a title. Stop pre-guessing. That doesn't help anybody. Stop it. I'm gonna read out it. I'm gonna read out an alternate title, and you're gonna have to guess which movie it is. It's gonna be a Blumhouse production.
We gotta say our name and then buzz in.
Yeah, say your name to buzz in and then guess. Cool. All right. Here we go. Here's the first one. Some of these should be easy. Some of them shouldn't be. Ghostly Commotion.
Jimmy. Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity is the correct answer.
Nice.
Yeah. On the board. All
right.
Okay, here's the next one. The Eradication.
Jason. The Purge.
The Purge is the
correct answer. Or you could be going The Purge Anarchy.
But it didn't. You got The Purge. Here's the next one. Sinister.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Insidious.
Right answer.
Gotcha.
See what I did there?
Yes.
Yeah, you did trickster, that. You.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. You Who's moving scam. It?
What's that?
Who's moving it?
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Ouija.
Is the correct
answer. Oh, God. That's one I'm actually proud I didn't get. Go ahead.
Here's the next
Who's
one.
Who's moving it? That's a better name.
That was a Ouija board. Stuff happened.
They could have got a much more massive audience if it was called
Who's Moving It?
Yeah, I know, right?
And it's just the poster's just people shrugging. It's like a Ouija board, and there's like one girl in the middle, and there's like people on the side like arguing at her, and she's just in the middle going, like.
It already sounds like a better film, by the way.
All right, next one. BFF No More.
Jason.
Yes.
Unfriended.
Unfriended is the correct answer. You guys, I was having fun with
the Skype ones. Yeah, I was too slow on the buzzer.
God, I hated that movie.
Here's the next one. I like Unfriended.
I think it was set in Fresno.
Wait. You didn't like Unfriended, but you liked Ouija?
No, I did. I never said I liked Ouija. I hated Ouija.
Oscar,
is one of the worst.
I was about to never talk to you again.
No, Ouija is one of the worst films
Joe
I've
Blow
ever seen.
Dude,
In one week, I saw Ouija and Annabelle. It was awful. God. Oh my God. Ugh. No, Ouija sucked ass. Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever.
No, that's fine.
Tweeting right now. Jimmy O loves Ouija.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Ouija 2. Still Ouijan.
Talk to my lawyers.
Set for
New hashtag, who's moving it?
Who's moving it? I hope that's the subtitle. Ouija 2.
We're going to make it.
It's like a pun because they're like moving somewhere.
Who's moving it?
All right.
Who's moving it?
Next one. The Trip.
The Visit. Did Jimmy. The Visit.
Jimmy has the Visit.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here's the next one.
I was thinking another trip. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Sinister.
Sinister is the great
answer. That's what you're doing. Oh, son of a bitch. That's the worst.
You guys got to be on it.
I was going to do that.
Like, I saw Jimmy's game.
I was going to do that, but I was like, no way is that obvious.
Jimmy's just distracting us so he can answer all the questions.
Here's the next one. Ow, my neck. Abe, just try.
Vampire in Brooklyn? It's not Vampire in Brooklyn. Okay. Ow, my neck.
TikTok.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. I don't know, man.
The answer is Whiplash.
Oh,
that was a...
Yeah, I keep thinking of, like, the horror films. Yeah, like, yeah, that's
right.
Was actually...
I was like, well, this is released by Blumhouse? That's weird.
That's, yeah, that's totally freaky.
Here's the next one. That guy over there. That guy over there.
Oof.
Jason, I'll try one. You're not doing that horrible movie Creep, are you?
Nope.
Okay.
The answer is The Boy Next Door.
Oh God, I forgot that was that was a Blumhouse too. That guy over there.
Here's that guy over there. Who's moving it? Yeah. Oh, my neck.
Who's kidding?
Here's the next one. The Scaffolds.
Abe, The Gallows.
The Gallows. Abe is on the board, just in time for the last question.
I think that was made from a group of folks out in the Central Valley, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Abe's people.
Yeah, my people.
Parties with the Central Valley.
If it were a good movie, it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Here's the last one. Bit of a cheat, but I'm going anyway.
Okay.
Incisor Wizard. Incisor Wizard.
You're just... Jimmy, I'm just going to get Oculus?
Nope.
No.
The answer is the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, jeez.
Jason Bloom was a producer on the Tooth Fairy.
Wow.
Yeah, he was.
I've forgotten that one.
Kind of a trick, as I said. Nice. Ow, my neck wasn't, though. That was a good answer.
That was good.
Okay, the winner of this game is Jimmy.
Yeah.
Good job. Jimmy.
Jason put up a valiant effort as well.
Oh, thank you.
A might as well have not shown up today.
got one.
I'm getting to like playing these games with
not a shutout.
Not a shutout. Yes, you don't have to. You don't have to like make us food now. As the
glass three quarters full always.
All right, that was games. Good stuff. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, next up we have Out Now presents What's Out Now. This movie is coming out on Blu-ray or DVD this week, and we have quite a few here. First up, Furious 7 Extended Edition arrives this week.
See it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It's just a fun movie.
Yes.
Next up we have Cinderella.
Yeah, definitely go see it, yeah.
Sure.
Then we have Love and Mercy, which I really loved.
Love that movie. Great movie.
Good interviews by Jimmy actually on Joe Blow that I watched for that movie. So
cool.
John Cusack and Elizabeth Banks, and then the other one with Paul Dano. Really good actually.
And then we have Disney's Monkey Kingdom.
I heard that it's not bad.
Probably depressing. A monkey probably dies.
Oh.
It's Disney. The animals don't die in those ones.
They do. Disney nature
Mufasa
always
dies.
Kills somebody's. Some little animal is left on its own, and they're like, "Oh, it's so
that's actually
sad.
That's actually what this one's about."
I saw bears. Yeah. No one died there. The oceans. No one died. The lions. No one
died.
The
tiger. African. Yes.
African cats.
African cats. Someone died
because they got to eat stuff.
No, but when they're like modern, like the lion died or something.
It's also
sad.
The best one, narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of lying and dying, we have The Jinx from HBO, Big Bang Theory Season 8.
Haven't seen any single episode.
Nope, don't care.
Sleepy Hollow Season 2.
Aaron does a podcast on it.
I do. Empire Season 1.
I heard it's not bad.
It's my empire.
It's a fun show.
Come join my empire.
Come on, Cookie. Lost in Space, the complete series.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, hell yeah.
On Blu-ray.
That's Blu-ray?
Yep.
That's a commitment.
How many seasons was that?
I want to know this now. Lost
three
in
seasons.
Three seasons.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, 65, 68. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Ultimate James Bond Collection, which is just kind of a
have the Ultimate if you don't have, you know, Spectre in it.
Well,
right?
It's funny because that one day when the previous box set of James Bond films came out for the 50th anniversary, which made sense as opposed to this one, which is just like let's double dip it for no reason. That one had a slot for Skyfall in it, so like that was fun.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know if this one will do the same thing where I'll have a spot for Spectre in it, but there you go. Ultimate.
How many spots are left? I mean, there's going to be a million of these movies.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they keep coming. They keep coming out with a new Fast and Furious collection every time a sequel to Fast and Furious comes out.
And now that the Blu-ray for Fast and Furious, the original one, is called like the original Fast and Furious. It's like,
Still called the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, but they put the original in there.
It is Fast and Furious.
This is true.
That's the fourth one.
You're Fast and Furious.
Next up, we have the single release of Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, Producer's Cut.
Is that number four?
No, that's number six.
No, that's six.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You could previously get this with the entire like Halloween box set.
Starring Paul Rudd in his first film.
Yeah, Paul
Rudd.
Is
that right?
Yes.
Yes.
His first film?
He does not like to talk about that movie.
Oh.
That's not true.
Really?
It's not his first film, but he did that film before. I think it was Clueless.
Yeah,
was
Clueless, that came out the same year.
I think he shot Halloween first.
Yeah.
And Clueless came out first.
But no, he's not ashamed of Halloween. He's talked about how he'd like to go to those Halloween conventions at some point. He just hasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's not something he's ashamed of.
I saw an interview with him. He said something like... it was a movie.
Yeah.
And that was it. He didn't talk about the Druid cult or anything.
I mean, I don't think he's just not a Halloween fanboy, but like he's expressed interest in being involved in some way in something. I feel like just no one wants to reach out to him because they don't.
I think everyone does love Paul Rudd too, so.
Yeah.
Is he a jerk in that movie?
No, he's good in that movie.
He's fine. Like he's just
there's
not.
Just, like this he's one not... moment where he's like the loons don't.
Wait, is he like Johnny Depp style, where he's the boyfriend that gets murdered?
No, he's
the lead. He's the lead character.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Oh.
He and Donald Pleasance are running around together with guns. No, that's not. But
did Donald Pleasance die in like the third one or something?
No.
I don't know.
He died in the second one. He burnt up, but they...
We know that there was an explosion, and he happened to be in the building at the time. That is
in
he
the,
died.
In the room, but yes.
He had scars in four and five.
Yes, he had like that little button scar on his face in four. Yeah, he got burnt a little bit.
Yeah,
he had a really good plastic surgeon that
helped
out a lot.
What happened to Dr. What's-a-ma-call-it?
Loomis.
Yeah.
Dr. Loomis.
And lastly, as if... the Blu-ray gods came down to taunt me. Jumanji 20th Anniversary Edition comes out this week.
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Oh, all right.
It's terrible. Okay. Moving on. Let's get to Extremely Cool. These are movies that are currently streaming on Netflix that I like to recommend. Dear White People is now on Netflix.
Oh,
I wholeheartedly recommend this movie. I absolutely loved it and would easily say go see it immediately.
By the way, Slow West is also out.
Yes, Slow West is on Netflix. As is Up in the Air, I saw has recently been added to Netflix. So
George
why not?
That's up in the air?
That's just a great movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's the other Up in the Air that I had referenced right now?
I was actually thinking of
Paltrow.
No, the movie I thought you were. It was confusing in my mind. Was The Air Up There?
The Air Up There of Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Wow. Oh,
Abe,
I love that movie.
That's more of a given. That's one of the VHSs I own.
It's actually one of like the old. We rented the video cassette from like a Hollywood Vid or something. And we just recorded a copy of it, so it was that and Cool Runnings.
So
was, like,
hold on,
feature.
You rented The Air Up There. And you're like, guys, like let's see this movie again and again. Let's record.
Yeah, Jalan, man, Jalan.
Okay.
Wow.
And lastly, I saw that this is on Netflix now. Area 51.
The video game.
Yes. The video
no.
Game.
Yes. It's from Oren Peli.
Oren Peli, the director of the first Paranormal Activity, made Area 51 years ago, and I know this because I saw this at a test screening years ago, and it was in theaters briefly earlier this year. Now it's on Netflix. So I'm actually, since I saw it years ago, I'm actually curious to watch it again just to see what's changed and what took like 5 years to finally release this movie.
He digitally remastered it for sure.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah. And now everyone now has walkie talkies, so that's the
yes, point. Exactly.
All right, next week's show. Next week, there's like five things coming out. I think Black Mass makes the most sense, right?
Black Mass. Yeah.
Maybe a side of the Maze
Runner.
Exactly.
Maybe a side of the Maze Runner because Aaron and I did enjoy the first one.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get into that as well. But yeah, I think that Black Mass is probably like the main movie of discussion because it's on like the most screens next to Maze Runner probably. So
Maze Runner actually has like 500 more.
That's happening there. And last thing we do here: what should people go and see now, and what do you plan to see next, Jimmy O? What should people go and see in theaters right now?
Well, Mad Max is playing in IMAX for a week.
Yeah,
so I say go see that.
If you haven't seen it,
I say go see that. Mad Max, I would see
all those. Yeah.
Yeah, really. That's what I would see. I am seeing that Everest. I will seeing that, and I will be seeing the Green Inferno, which I don't think has anything to do with Disco Inferno. So I think it's a different thing.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Jason. Oh, really?
Yeah. Jason, what should people go and see now?
I actually went. I didn't realize it was playing at a theater near me. So it was one of the Jimmy had actually recommended, called Turbo Kid, which I actually really enjoyed.
Great.
Yeah.
Great movie. Yes.
Go see the first apocalyptic BMX bike guy.
Yeah,
it's a blast.
And it's got an amazing 80s style, like Tangerine Dream, John Carpenter kind of soundtrack to it. Score. That's amazing. It's really good.
So much fun. Highly recommended.
Yeah. But the one I'm seeing on Thursday is, and they're only playing it for the one night at the Landmark, is the
Friday Got Fingered?
No, the documentary, Mark Hartley's documentary. You know, the first one he did was Not Quite Hollywood, which is the one on the Aussie exploitation movement. This one is called Electric Boogaloo, and it's the wild untold story of Canon Films. So all the films I grew up with, all the Chuck Norris films and the Charles Bronson movies and Breaking 2, all those good movies. So I can't wait to see this thing.
Full title, please. Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
At the doc, they said that Lucinda Dickey of Ninja 3, The Domination, is going to be there, and Mr. American Ninja himself, Michael Dudikoff, is going to be there. So I'm obviously super stoked.
Great.
Abe?
I know that Dope got re-released for Labor Day. If it's still out, you should go see Dope. But if it's not...
pretty dope. Good
movie. It's pretty dope, yeah. If not, go check out Mission Impossible. And what I'm going to see next, I definitely want to see all the things we're going to talk about, which is Black Mass, Maze Runner, and Everest. So I'll probably have a field day on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I guess The Visit, like, it's fun enough, given that we've had such a lack of horror or quality horror in mainstream here in theaters. I think that's worth checking out. I'm seeing Everest also. I'll see you there, Jimmy.
Cool.
And yeah, there's Black Mass and Sicario I can't wait to see. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
I think that's, like, so limited that I'm not going to be able to get it.
It won't be so limited. I think it'll be around-ish, but the week after it comes out for sure. Like, that'll
it's
probably
called the... VOD, man.
What?
Is it on VOD?
No, it's not on VOD. No, it's not on VOD.
Yeah, I was like, it seems like a pretty large
release.
Never
mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
All right.
No VOD for you.
With all that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work at my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com. You can find my written movie review recaps as well as at Rant Hollywood, where I write about movies daily, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Not who's moving it?
Damn it!
Messing up your hashtags.
Yeah.
Jimmy O, where can people find more of your work online?
You can find me at joblow.com, joblo.com, and arrowintthehead.com on Facebook, James Oster, Instagram, Jimmy to the O, Twitter, Jimmy to the O. I think I'm on Periscope or something like that. I'm all over. I'm whoring myself out as much as possible.
Jason Coleman, where can people find more of you?
I like to keep it simple. You can just go to starpulse.com, and I've got stuff up there, including every Friday I have my Forgotten Friday flick. And actually, you can check out, as it comes up, stuff that Jimmy and I both do at Flicks for Fans, the Facebook page for Flicks for Fans. It's facebook.com/flicksforfans, and it'll list things like, you know, events that Jimmy and I do where we do Q&As and give away prizes and just do awesome, awesome stuff. So very proud of that.
For sure, yeah. Looking forward to seeing more of those.
Oh,
events.
And wait, before I forget, yeah, Shriekfest, I have a film called that I'm in literally probably 30 seconds, but I'm in the trailer like four times. The Divine Tragedies. the Divine Tragedies. It's actually a pretty cool little.
How do we market
quirky
this movie? Put more of Jimmy in.
Well, you know,
I like this guy's face. Let's put him in four times.
I get seriously messed up in this film, so it was a lot of fun to shoot. I'm brutalized in this movie, so it was fun. I'm excited to see it on the big screen.
Like in a fun
audience
way, where like your head's falling off and your eyes are still moving.
No, he's just
I just get stabbed, hit by a car, shot,
You're the Rasputin of Shriekfest?
Yes, I'm just... That's me.
That's the reference I went for.
The Rasputin?
That's awesome. All right.
You can find all the episodes About Now With Her Name on iTunes and Audio Boom, as well as Stitcher.
You can also listen to our old episodes over at SoundCloud, Podomatic, and HHWLOD.
You can feel free to email us your thoughts on The Visit and Shyamalan in general and the fall movie season, if you like, over at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
Interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And lastly, our Out Now Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. You can follow us and teach us how to use it. So, Jimmy, Jason, thank you both for joining
us.
Thank
you both.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. I do want to say one more thing. Saloons, Norman. Saloons.
There's like so many listeners like, what the hell
is what talking is about? That?
What reference is he making?
Oh. All right. That's enough silliness about On Golden Pond and other stuff.
Let's... No, I think there's more.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
You're ruining our surprise commentary for the Go On Golden Pond. Be terrible.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Oh my god, I almost want to do that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And Jimmy should do it in full like KH voice the whole time.
Anyway.
Jimmy, I don't want to prolong this even more, but I'm watching a clip of you getting run over, stabbed in the throat, and shot.
Yes,
on YouTube.
That would be me. The trailer is online, and it's an awesome little trailer. And it has
you're wearing a white jumpsuit.
I was jogging. I'm a jogger.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I'm Bob the Jogger. And the film also has Barbara Crampton and Ken Foray. So there you go.
What's the movie called again?
Divine Tragedies.
Okay, Divine Tragedies. Right. I will put
the
trailer up.
There are no loons in it. Okay. None at all.
Good to know.
No.
All right.
It's loon free.
Okay.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
Coming us back. Oh, look, I've spotted the loons. Oh!
The loons are teaching their baby to fly. The loons have been calling for rain all night long.
The loons,
they've come around to say goodbye.